Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
Are you ready, Jerry?
I'm ready.
Just want to make sure you're ready, brother. Show me the money.
Oh, you didn't know?
Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling.
You put my shoes on, you wouldn't last a mile.
Summertime, wintertime, money grind.
I got the ring, I'm the champ, I'm the genie of the lamp.
This is the gift I was given, so I just live out my hustle.
Make money, make money, money, money.
Out here for a pill.
Yeah,
when he tryna get this money for real.
I want to find a thing to save my life. So I hustle, hustle.
It ain't over for me. No, it ain't over for me.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money.
Okay, let's go smoke that joint.
What up, what up? This is Alex, Fantasy Football Hustler, back at you. We got another IDP video for you IDP savants. We're talking defensive backs today. Get your notepads out because we're giving our first initial ranks. And I'm joined by Jordan from the IDP Army, ready to kill it for you guys.
What up, y'all? Ready to do this, ready to dive into these defensive backs. One of the more deep positions in IDP fantasy and more fun, you know. You get a lot of big plays out of your defensive backs where you're going to get most of your pass deflections, most of your interceptions. Yeah, I love it. I'm ready to do it.
Hell yeah. And hopefully you play an IDP 1-2-3 scoring. That's the default on Sleeper, where I'd say defensive backs are a little bit more relevant than a lot of these scoring systems that I've seen, where sometimes passes defended don't even count as much as a solo tackle. I love how an IDP 1-2-3 pass defended is 3 points as opposed to a solo tackle being 2, because it's a lot harder for a DB. I would say, let's say 9 or 8 out of 10 times, it's a lot harder for that DB running backwards full speed against maybe one of the best wide receivers in the league to be able to swat that ball down, get an INT, or even just stop the play in general.
100%, 100%. Crank that scoring up. Y'all know what it is.
Hell yeah. And shout out to Stranger and Marty and Ghost Monkey and Crispy, Pam, JPZ, what up? KPZ, what up? Look at Pam, Cooper DeJean, number one.
Let's Man, go.
Yeah, it's awesome because he went to a place where he's going to be able to get a lot of tackles. He could have probably gone to like a shittier team where he would have been the man. And maybe it's a little bit tougher for him in year one. It's crazy how there's a lot of people thinking he was going to get drafted in the first round. White cornerbacks that run a 4-4, 4-5, they don't get drafted in the first round. I still think it's cheating that the Eagles ended up with Mitchell and with Cooper DeJean as their first two picks.
Yeah, it's hard not to be happy for the Eagles right now. Even though I'm not an Eagles fan, but Eagles fans, they get me hype. I want a little of that magic for the Steelers.
And it was drafting, too. Like, I mean, a lot of people can hate on the Eagles. I don't cheer for them one way or the other, but most of the stuff was done through the draft. You look at their defense. Outside of Zach Bond, who seemed like their defensive MVP because he came out of nowhere like an RKO, everybody else was pretty much drafted there or been there forever, one of the two. I mean, I know C.J. Gardner-Johnson, he left, he came back, you know, whatever, maybe he's the exception. And then Barkley, I mean, that obviously took their offense to the next level, but stupid Titans trade with them trading A.J. Brown for like a first rounder and a fourth rounder or whatever it was. Like,
that was dude, remember they drafted Treylon Burks. That was like how they were going to replace A.J. Brown.
I was there. I was at that draft. That was when the draft was here in Vegas, and I had just moved here like a month before. And I remember we were on live stream, and I was like, how fucking stupid are the Titans? Just for the 17th overall pick and whatever the fourth rounder was, 100 and something. Like, man, stupid. Because they didn't want to pay him. I'm glad because it let A.J. Brown flourish. That's for sure.
Yeah, he's had an incredible career with the Eagles, and he's still got more in the tank.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Jamie. What up, bro? Shout out to Toker 1 J. PJ, what up? He said, man, it's fucking February, bro. Hell yeah, man. We got to be on it. We're already doing shit. I think we're already knee deep in about 10 dynasty drafts. And yeah, it's fun, man. I'm killing it. Jamie said, just wait till Cooper DeJean's brother comes out, Jax DeJean. Oh, well, he's got a lot of years, though. Like, what's he going into? His junior. This is going to be his junior year next year, next season. But he's like, what, 6'4", 6'5", like 220. And he's playing like wide receiver and fucking DB. I don't know. Like, if you got that kind of height, just start packing on the muscle and just be a D end. I mean, they're going to get paid more unless he ends up being a top end cornerback, and then he'll probably make more.
Dude, those top end corner. That's why I think it's weird that that Hunter kid wants to play wide receiver and cornerback. He's not going to get paid twice.
No, he's not
going to be. Even if he gets a little bit more, he's literally going to be doing two people's jobs. I would just take the cornerback. I think they get paid. They make good money. If you can be a good cornerback, you can make good money.
But you got to be a top-end cornerback to get, like, really good money, because a lot of cornerbacks just get kind of mid-level money. But it seems like it's easier to get paid more as a wide
receiver. As a receiver?
Like, just ask Christian Kirk.
Yeah, I guess that's a – I mean, I guess that's a good point.
But it depends.
But you would really – the margin for error at receiver isn't quite as thin. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You know, you could be a wide receiver too and still make close to what some top-end cornerbacks make, you know, probably, yeah. You know, top 10 cornerback numbers.
But if you are a top
like Devontae Smith, I don't know what he makes right now, but I imagine he's got to be making good money.
Well, he's still on his rookie.
Is he? Okay, well, then he's about to be making some good money.
Yeah, for sure. He was drafted. When was he drafted? 2021? Yeah, 2021. So, yeah, he's about to be getting a new contract here. BJ said, ask Tony.
Hold on. Hey, Darius, Tony, he got me blocked on Twitter. Which is such a weird flex.
Man, that's fucking hilarious. Yeah, that's weird. This is, this drop has been used hundreds of times for Tony. Because he's just funny to talk shit about. What up, TJ? And Toker1J said, who you think gets a Giunti? I don't know, but the more that I feel like I feel like he's just going to go higher and higher because it's a pretty weak, like, just class overall, especially in the quarterback position. I feel like he goes like
top. I gotta shut this door real quick. One second.
Yeah, I was thinking that he was going to be like a low end, like first round pick or like a super high, like second round pick. But because of just how whack a lot of this class is, I think he's going to be a top 15 pick. It's probably going to be someone trading up to get him, I feel.
Seems like people are pretty high on running back the last recently. We had like one year where the top running back was kind of drafted late, but what didn't we had Gibbs went in the first, and then Bijan went pretty high. To throwing it all the way back to Zeke going pretty high. So if there's a team that's ready to make a splash and a guy like this is available, I mean, he's probably going to get snatched pretty early.
Yeah.
I don't know who, though. I haven't really given it a whole lot of thought. But doesn't he have a Super Bowl ring? I mean, he was signed with the Chiefs whenever they won, like last year.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he has a catch in the Super Bowl. So, yeah, he's got his resume. It's pretty deep compared to a lot of other
receivers. A lot of receivers would kill for that.
Yeah, yeah. First round drafted wide receiver. And if nothing else, he has his Super Bowl ring and he caught one catch in the Super Bowl. And that's
let's go.
Hey, what up, Johnny? What's going down? And PJ said, well, man, I'm in fantasy baseball mode. Can you think of football players right now? And we'll see you a little later, bro. And yeah, I just can't do fantasy baseball because it's so much, it's a grind. It really is. Like, man, you got to be paying attention like literally every single day. And about 2 weeks from now, we're going to start our best ball drafts and we're literally going to be drafting like for the 2025 season. So we got a lot going on. TJ said the Skull Gang is scoping them. Yeah, I mean, if they wouldn't have done as good as they did last year, I'd probably be with you a little bit. I'm curious, would they trade up? Because didn't they trade up to get JJ as well? I mean, I know it wasn't that many spots, but. Jamie said Carson Wentz has 2 Super Bowl rings, Hall of Fame. Hey, man. Carson Wentz is living his best dream out here. He's living his best life, that's for sure. Like, doesn't have to take a snap in the Super Bowl. Got 2 rings to throw up on the mantle.
He's such a bum.
He totally is. Hold on, where is that?
He was a bum then, and he's a bum now.
All right, here we go. So let's jump into these DB rankings for 2024, and then we'll give our thoughts on where we think these guys should be drafted in your startup drafts for 2025. And for everyone who's ever listened to me about Buda Baker, he just lived up to like every bit of hype that we would hope that he'd live up to. Number one DB. And just an insane amount of tackles, 164 total tackles. He did mix in 2 sacks and a forced fumble and was over 300 total points.
Yeah, he had an incredible season, one of the best of his career from a fantasy point of view. But he's been consistently top-end guy for 5-6 years now, maybe 7.
I mean, in IDP, so
he truly is. For IDP and Dynasty, he's been special if you've had him. You know, he's Mike Evans-esque where you can count on him and he just continues to be incredible and he's been incredible for a long, long, long time. So shout out to him. We probably got 2, 3, 4 more seasons of this too, which is the crazy part.
I mean, you can even go back to his sophomore season where he had over 100 combined tackles. And then the next year after that, in 2019, he leads the NFL in solo tackles with 104. He had 95 solo tackles this year, and he had 69 assisted tackles.
69, dudes!
That's just an insane number for DB.
Yeah.
And he's always on the field, and he was always around the ball. I mean, yeah, it helped that the Cardinals' offense wasn't always the best, but even at 29 years old, 98% of the snaps he played, so it was rarely off.
Yep. He's wild.
So him being 29, I still feel like I want to rank him inside the top 5. Like, he's probably not going to be my number 1 or 2, but he's not 30 yet, and I feel like I probably can't put him past number 5.
No, definitely not. There's only a couple of guys that I would take ahead of him, and I still might not even take them ahead of him if I'm just being completely honest. Even in a startup, I'm fine with him as my 1 and even reaching a little bit because it gives you so much room to develop other players behind him knowing what you're going to get from him the next year, 2, like I said, 3, 4, 5 potentially.
Dan said, you think he has like 2 years left before the decline?
I would say even more than that. I don't think he'll, I could see him playing this well 33 more years, maybe 4.
Especially because it's all about the tackles. It's not like they put him in coverage and line him up at the line as like, nickelback or anything.
Yeah.
He's just a field general.
He's one of the just best tacklers too. He's got perfect form and he almost has to because he's a little smaller than, you know, your conventional sort of large, strong safety type. But I mean, he's really what we hoped the Honey Badger would be in the NFL, kind of. I mean, they played together. Think about that. That's how long ago, how long he's been there. But he really is like that guy.
Yeah. Let's talk about someone who we already knew was going to be that guy, Brian Branch. Just a killer second year, 23 years old. We already saw what he could do as a rookie, and he missed a couple games, and then he comes back. He throws up over 100 tackles. He had four INTs, and, I mean, some of those were, like, top plays of the week where he's, like, completely laid out, like, you know, body just completely horizontal, and he's a playmaker out there. He's a hard hitter, and I feel like he's just going to be a guy who's going to be on the Lions, like, forever.
Dude, he is just as good of a pick, if not better than the first round, Aiden Hutchinson and Jamar Gibbs. I saw Dave Kluge tweeted something about them, you know, for Detroit. I was like, don't forget Brian Branch is a first round pick too. I mean, like, this guy is already, like you said, he's put his name up there with the best of them. Is, you know, in his second season, over 100 tackles. That's huge in and by itself, you know. Also had 16 pass deflections to go with those four interceptions. A forced fumble, he had a sack, 8 tackles for a loss. I mean, he was busy, and he could do more, you know, and that's the crazy part. There's a few plays where he was right there, something got a little away from him or got called back, so he could have even done more this season. So as a second-year player, like I said, if there's anybody I would think about taking ahead of Buda Baker, it's him and maybe Antoine Winfield Jr. That's about it for me, because those are the guys that I think really are going to lock in and have been locked in.
And yeah, Johnny, this is dope. The sack that Branch had at the end of the game week was week 17 was a league winner. Yeah, could you imagine that? Just if you were down by like 5-6 points and then you get that last second sack to just win it for you. Like, that's huge.
Yeah. I remember there was just some matchups in the fantasy definitely came down to that play. And it was just, that's the essence of fantasy football, you know?
And how you know that there's room for improvement. He did miss one game. He played 91% of the snaps. So even if that bumps up by 6 or 7% because he plays the full season without missing any games, it's just going to be more points to come around. He just barely missed 300. So that's crazy. Buda, he's the only DB that was over 300 points as well. That's why he's so good.
Yeah.
All right.
Big things are coming for him in the future. I think we're going to just see more of the same from him.
Yeah. I could definitely see an increase in those tackle numbers there. And if he increases in his INT numbers and the pass defended numbers, like, that's insane. He increased from 13 to 16 on the passes defended. Let's see if he can go over 20. Because teams have to throw on Detroit. Their offense does good enough to where
you
got to throw.
If he's getting his hand on 16 balls a game, one of these seasons, like you said, he's going to come down with 8 or 9 of those, kind of like Kevin Byard we were talking before the show. And then it's a wrap, you know what I'm saying? It's going to be legendary status locked in for Detroit player.
Yep. And how about Nick Cross, who just came in and killed it this year, the number 3 DB. We were talking a little bit before. I'm a little bit nervous about just the Colts in general, just because you never know when things are going to change over there. But he's 23 years old, third-year breakout. I feel like I'm probably going to put him in my top 5 somewhere just because of the 23 age, and he's going to still be on the Colts this year. But after that, we don't know if they're going to keep him, if they're going to let him go. If he has another season like this, I don't know why they wouldn't re-sign him.
Yeah, I think that's a good, you know, and a good, well-thought-out way to think about playing him this year. You know, he did this for this team this last year, 145. They're going to keep him around, and there's a pretty good chance he could repeat that again this next year. And if he does that and he gets 2 seasons with some, you know, some good numbers like that under his belt, sky's the limit. You know, he could be the net, you know, he could be a guy that we talk about for years and years to come in dynasty for defensive back, you know, but staying healthy too, you know, that third year breakout. So, you know, it took him a while to develop, and he's not going to, he knows what it means to get on the field now. You know, he had to work to get there. So sometimes that can mean even more for a player. So I think, you know, even, and that's crazy too, coming into the league as young as he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of green grass in front of him. I think he could have a pretty good career.
And he only started two games in each of his first 2 years. And then he comes in as an everyday starter this year, 87 solo tackles, you know, just like no matter what, like if he's flirting around that, he's going to be a top end DB in fantasy. It's just,
And it's the Colts. Like you said, there's going to be tackles available. Like we were talking about Zaire Franklin on the linebacker show, you know, like, that's not going to go away. The Colts aren't going to fix their problems overnight. So there's going to be a lot of tackles available again next year. So
that was for sure. All right. Number four. Yeah, we were talking about Kevin Byard because he's right here at the top. And I know for me, I think of him as the Kevin Byard on Tennessee. And here's his INT numbers from his sophomore season on. 8-4-5-1-5-4. But then he goes over to Philly, and then now Chicago. He only had one INT each of those last two seasons. But last year, 122 combined tackles, and then this year, 130 combined tackles.
Yeah, I think those are his two best tackle seasons, which, you know, he's getting a little older, 31. He came into the league and played free safety. I think he played more strong safety this year. But I mean, that's to be able to expect it to some degree sometimes with certain players, and that's totally fine. But yeah, I mean, those tackle numbers are keeping him in the conversation, and, you know, put him up there this year. Like I said, a career year in tackles. The INTs did go down, but from a fantasy point of view, the tackles are usually, I mean, they're still going to be your bread and butter because you're going to get, you know, you can usually rack up more of those than you would have INTs anyway. So a good year for him. Probably, I mean, I think it is his best fantasy season overall, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of one of those things circling back up to Buda Baker where, you know, he's only 29. Kevin Byard just had his best season at 31. You know, who's to say a Buda Baker couldn't do the same thing? So these defensive backs, you know, especially these, you know, free safety, strong safety guys that are really, really have it going on up here, the football IQ, the sky's the limit, and honestly, the runway is kind of forever from a fantasy point of view until they pretty much just the brakes just fall off of it. So, yeah, good year for him. And we were talking before, too. You said he signed a 2-year deal with Chicago, so he's pretty much going to be in the same situation again next season. So maybe we'll get another career year out of him.
Yeah, I feel like I'm leaving him somewhere inside my top 10. I mean, if he had a bunch of INTs and it seemed a little fluky, that's one thing, but 130 total tackles and 80 of those were solo tackles. And even if Chicago does take a little bit of step up offensively, I mean, I see him at least having the potential to throw up those kind of numbers again. And if he does that, he should be another top 10 DB for next year. And yeah, maybe he does have a couple more years in the tank. I mean, these last 2 years were his top 2 years tackle wise.
Yep.
Outside of the Tennessee years, it's like he's being used a lot differently than he was being used in Tennessee, where he was getting all these INTs and kind of flying around the field, but his tackle numbers weren't the best.
Yeah, like I said, I think they played him more at free safety and what was that guy's name? He's the coach of the Patriots now. What was that guy's name? I can't think of it. Yeah, he had like a weird defense. You know, it was just always a little bit odd. So I mean, Chicago, like you said, his numbers as tackles have gone up. So for fantasy, that's good. I mean, that's what you really, really want. The INTs can be fluky. We know we can get 4, maybe 5. So maybe that'll shoot up this next year for Chicago. Who knows? But I guess that would mean the Bears would have to be good enough for a team to have to throw the ball on them, right?
It would. Yeah, I don't know if that's going to be the thing. And there's a lot of Caleb truthers out there, but
Big ask.
I don't see it turning around like all crazy just after that first year. I think they got to go.
Imagine being Kevin Byard just needing like one interception for like a bonus this year, and your team, you're down like 40 points. And so you and the defensive backs are clowning you like they're not throwing it. You're not getting your bonus. Like that was just like that's like a super specific meme of like a nightmare situation. Like, just literally be like, they're never going to throw the football, so I'm never going to get this interception because I'm on the Bears.
Dude, look at this. Johnny said, Cross and Byard were my starting DBs for a team that went undefeated. Byard was a 40th round startup pick. See, exactly. Like, didn't even matter how good he did the year before that. I mean, 220, that's not horrible. He was probably like a DB2, maybe like somewhere around the 25s or something. And then, comes over to Chicago and is the DB4, and you picked him in the 40th round somewhere.
Well, because he wasn't flashy. You know, it's not a flashy name, really, you know. He was cool. You know, he was never bad, but he never really had a season like this, you know. Yeah. So,
and he's 30, so who's going to draft a 30-year-old, you know, with a, I don't know, a top end pick? That's why guys like we're not covering the DLs right now, but guys like Cam Hayward that I would steadily get in these startups in like the 40th round because he's like, he's old,
dude. He's yeah, old. People, I got him on the waiver wire a couple of times, but people would like cut him. And I will admit, even I had to cut him at one point for something, but it was only because I knew no one was going to pick him up,
right?
It's wild.
All right, how about the DB5, Julian Love, man, who I am in love with. Because he has been very, very consistent with his kind of output here. I mean, you look at the last 3 years, 243, 253, 254. Just right around this range where he's probably flirting with top 10 in any of those years. Over 100 total tackles in each of those years. Mixes in 2 to 4 interceptions. Gets a fumble recovery and a forced fumble like here and there. And Seattle, whether they're good, bad, or ugly, their DBs just always get a lot of tackles. Always.
Yeah, he's proven himself, you know, for a few seasons now, kind of like you were saying. I like him in a startup. I think you could probably plug him in as an every week DB1 for a while. I don't know if I'd want to draft him that high, just I think there's a few guys in that area. Just depending on the team build that I wanted to do. If I was a Seahawks fan, you know, I would definitely reach for him a little bit. But yeah, he's been rock solid for fantasy the last two seasons. I mean, consistency-wise, look at the actual score. 243, 253, 254. He's finished within 10 points of himself each of the last three seasons. So that's consistency like you will rarely see in any player, and it's high-end consistency too. So,
and 79 solos at least in the last 3 years. He had 79 this year. I guess his tackle numbers went down a little bit, but more passes defended. I mean, that's what kept his numbers high. Had a couple more tackle for losses this year than the previous years. And yeah, I mean, Seattle, I don't see them taking a huge step down offensively or a huge step up. So I would assume.
Yeah, I might throw some trades out in some of my in a league or two for him. I don't have him in. You know, he seems like the kind of player that probably flies under the radar a little bit.
Yeah, why wouldn't he? Because it's not he's not throwing up 300. You know,
exactly. He's putting up 100. It's just in the tackle numbers, just high enough to be like, ooh, but it's not so high that you're like, I'm not getting rid of him.
Right.
You know. And it's trending down too, so that's you could say like, hey, I don't know, is he falling off? You know, just say that's somebody. Ah! Give me that bag.
Yeah, definitely someone who always flies under the radar. And yeah, over a hundred total tackles for each of the last 3 years. All right, and we were talking about Brandon Jones before the show as well. Someone who not necessarily came out of nowhere, because if you follow this show, I mean, you know, we've always talked about the Dolphins and he was filling in a lot over there, but everyday starter for the Broncos, and he signed that 3-year contract, so he's there for at least 2 more years. 253 total points and 115 total tackles and mixed in 3 INTs as well.
Yeah, a great season for him, a great start to his career with the Broncos. Broncos surging a little bit offensively and defensively. You know, I think he's part of that. And like you said, a 3-year contract. They needed somebody to replace Simmons. You know, he's out there with Surtain, and he can hold his own. So, you know, 3 interceptions. I don't know what his pass deflection numbers were
10.
Off the top of my head. But for IDP, he's another guy that if you don't have him, if you can get him in a trade, not, you know, don't overpay for any of these guys, but these are the kind of guys that you could – every week starters for a couple of seasons potentially. Brandon Jones, never been somebody that we've really bought in, but there's never been much to buy into, but we've seen him, you know, like you said, flash for the Dolphins for a few seasons now. He doesn't fly under my radar.
He had 10 passes defended, so that's more than double of any of his previous years. He did only start 6 games last year. You know, that was when Holland or whoever was like out, he had to fill in. But yeah, if he's playing every single game, I mean, he missed 2 games this year. He only started 15 games. He played 16 games total. I can't remember when he got hurt or if it was in the beginning where he didn't play. I can't even remember. But yeah, I feel like he's someone who's going to fly under the radar. I'll throw him in my top 10 for sure. I mean, the 26 26 years old, and he has two more years with the Broncos, at least.
Yeah. Lock him in for another 250 points.
Let's see. So he was number six. All right, Kyle Hamilton finishing as number seven. Also a guy kind of like Roquan Smith. He's like a victim of circumstance, you know, with how good their offense is, how good their offense is at controlling the time of possession. 258 points last year. He missed two games last year. He dropped down a couple points this year, played pretty much all the games. I mean, I know he got hurt in one of those games and missed a big portion, but this was the first year that he cracked over 100 total tackles. And if he does that consistently, he's going to be a top 10, top five guy just year after year.
Yeah, he really is blossoming into a good player for the Ravens. I don't like the Ravens, but he's probably one of my favorite players on the Ravens, if not my favorite player on the Ravens. Yeah, I mean, an incredible season. I love watching him make hits. I love watching any safety make hits, but I love watching him make the hits. And like you said, there's meat on the bone, too. He went down a little bit in score this year. Four interceptions last year, just one this year, but showing that he can do that as well. I don't have his pass deflection numbers right in front of me, but 100 tackles. Ooh, I like that. It took him 3 years to get there, but that's trending up, you know. So if you're somebody that's had him for a few seasons, you're really starting to – he's starting to pay dividends for sure. And sometimes in Dynasty, that's okay. You know, people don't have – players don't have to come out and light the world on fire. You're one or you're two, you know, like Jaden Daniels did this last year. Sometimes it takes 2 or 3 years for him to do it. But if you hold on, you know, and you just kind of wait for them to mature, they can become extremely high-end Dynasty assets. And here he is, 23 years old. Oh, I've been holding this bag for 3 years, but it's only a 23-year-old bag. So you still have plenty of green grass in front of you. And, yeah, I mean, like you said, I love him. Victim of circumstance, yeah, he's on the Ravens. So he gets overshadowed a little bit by that offense, but great player.
And I feel like I'd rather him score 252 and have 107 total tackles versus 258 and only 81 combined tackles, because the interceptions, you know, I mean, it's just always going to be a little bit fluky, especially with the team like the Ravens. Like, it seemed like offenses were throwing away from him, like, a lot of the time. And, yeah, it's going to be – hopefully that number of tackles increases. He only played 92% of the snaps because of the time that he missed due to injury, even though he played 17 games. I think there was like two games where he left the game early, and, you know, that could have been a couple extra tackles.
Mm-hmm.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as 1 day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
All right. So, yeah, definitely someone who's – I put in my top 10. He's probably going to get drafted earlier than I want to draft him, but I bet he goes top five in pretty much every – you know, top five DB in all of these drafts.
Yeah.
Hey, shout out to Derek. What up, bro?
What up?
All right. Jesse Bates takes a little bit of a step back. From last year, as far as, I mean, last year he's the DB one with 312 points. This year he's the DB eight, 250 points. Over 100 total tackles, though, 102. He still mixed in his four INTs, but I feel like they got Simmons over there now. They made a couple improvements. Caden Ellis, you know, improved as well. I just feel like Jesse Bates, like we're really far removed from him being drafted as the number one DB like everywhere last year. He's still in my top 10 because he's 28, but I don't think we're going to see him replicate that 300-point season again.
Yeah, and I think people are just a little tired of him, just worn out in fantasy. He's always been good, but never really been that absolute world beater. He's also, you know, kind of been on – we've been on Atlanta the last few seasons. They haven't been great. So it's not like it's bearable to watch. And for fantasy football purposes, I mean, again, like he'd be a great DB too, but I don't think anybody wants to this year, you know, or maybe even going forward for, you know, the foreseeable future, want to draft him like in the DB one range. You know what I mean? There's just sexier names out there that didn't do as good and haven't done as good that you just kind of want to take a shot on. Cause I mean, it's Jesse Bates, you know? Again, that's not a knock on him per se. I just think that's how the market feels about him at this point. He's going to be the next Kevin Byard, you know.
Right.
You'll just pick him up on waiver. You'll just draft him in the 40th round.
Yeah. His INT numbers have been higher than they've ever been, especially when he was on Cincinnati, just getting like one or two, and he was pretty much living like off his tackles. But, yeah, getting over 100-plus tackles and then still mixing in, you know, four or six, but – yeah, just I don't know. I'm kind of out on him too. I mean, I feel like you got to put him top 10 because of like
The consistency factor. You know what you're going to get. You know what I mean? I think that's it. I think last season number 1 was the best we're ever going to get out of him. We've known he's been good for a while. But I think I don't know. He's not somebody I see people, you know, rushing in their drafts to go click the draft button on.
Right. How about Alante Taylor? I mean, he killed it for most.
This dude wrecked my world. What did he score week one? What did he score
week one? Week one, he scored 41 points. Killed. Yeah.
I want to say, I want to cuss this guy out so bad. I'll never forget. My buddy picked him up the Sunday morning of week one. He's my best friend in the whole world. So we're playing each other week one, of course. And, you know, I'm looking at the waiver wires. Oh, he picks up. Who's this guy? Alante Taylor. He's playing against me. I no big deal. I'll be fine. Boom. Boom. Just gave it right to me. Oh, I was like, God damn you. I would have won if you wouldn't have played him. But I'll never forget. Week one, he's a beast. He had a good season, though. And I went, and he was available on waiver wires in another one of my leagues. And when I got, after he fisted me, I was like, damn, I got to check the rest of my waiver, see if he's out there in one of my other leagues. And he was in like two of them. So I was like, after that, I was in. But
yeah. I mean, the tackle numbers, I mean, you know, we want better numbers out of him, but 89 total. And that's like his career high. I mean, maybe he's been on the radar a little bit before for like Dynasty, but never like anything to where we're taking him seriously as like a starter. And for the most part, I mean, if you went and picked him up after the 41 point, you know, game, like you could have started him and he's just putting up double digits, like damn near every single week. Fell off a little bit in the second half of the season, but I feel like maybe it was only 4 games or 5 games where he did not put up double digit tackles. So that's great for
He was an every week starter. Even whenever he didn't perform, you didn't want to take him out of your lineup because you knew he was going to come back and just, you know, he took care of it. You know, those 4 sacks didn't hurt anything either. You know, I think that can't be overstated. Again, especially because he came out of left field for me anyway.
That's for
great,
sure.
Great season for him. 26 years old. I don't know how the Saints are built right now. They seem like they've been a mess for a minute, but you know,
their DBs are solid though. I know they had a couple injuries as well, but yeah, their DBs. That's one position I'm not really. That's one position I'm excited to draft from them.
Nice.
Derwin James, man, oldie but a goodie, and he's still only 28. Like, man, someone who's been around this 7 years, 28 years old, and you know, it's a little bit of a step back compared to his last like couple seasons. But if you've had him in Dynasty for a while, you're still okay with his numbers. I feel like now you're drafting him later than you've ever really been able to draft him because no one's seeing him as a top-end DB. Now he's either a low-end DB1 or a high-end DB2, depending on who you ask. Just fell short of 100 tackles, but man, 5.5 sacks though. If we keep seeing those kind of things out of him, I mean, he doesn't really have to touch 100 total if his sack numbers are somewhere like that.
Yeah, he's had a good, I mean, he's had a great career for fantasy, but yeah, like you said, for whatever reason, I don't know if he's still being drafted that as high as he maybe was in the past. Didn't he admit he got like in trouble? Was it this year for something and like missed a game? Did he get fined or he got like too many roughing or like a targeting call, or I don't remember, but he had to like miss a game.
Yeah,
looks like I remember early in the season that was kind of dramatic, but I mean, he's been rock solid for a while now. I don't really have too, you know, no real notes on him except he's just been consistently good. Still with the Chargers, which kind of, you know, it's a long time to be on one team. Good for him. I guess Harbaugh likes him. I'm kind of worried. Don't want to be too off topic, but I don't know. I'm wondering what's going to happen with Joey Bosa or what has happened with Joey Bosa. Like, I wonder what the whole story is with him and his career. And I don't know because he's always been seemed a little odd. So I feel like there's more there than just he got hurt and didn't play that much.
He fucking sucks. Joey Bosa's hated the Chargers since like when he said that he was going to hold out and he didn't want to get drafted by the Chargers. And I don't even know why they drafted him. Like, he's been good here and there, but that guy, like, this drop was like made for him.
He's a bum. He was a bum then, and he's a bum now. It's
always been a bum. And CB Dizzle said Rumble not working. It's working. Says there's a handful of people over there watching. No one's leaving any comments though. And I said I need to get into a couple leagues next year. Well, if you're not on Patreon, go to patreon.com/FFHustler420 or 420crew.com. And go get over there. You could join for free. And I'm posting about dynasty leagues that are starting. I think there's like 5 that are starting right now. And there'll be best ball drafts that are going down real soon. And if you only want redraft, all those are going to be happening in August. And I'll have a bunch of cool leagues for you to join. What'd Pam say? It's fun. Just speaks on the level of talent in the league now. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Johnny said, how about his teammate, Paulson Adebo? Yeah. I mean, she's fucking killing it and then gets hurt. And then, yeah, like that's just one of the things that sucks when these guys are killing it and then they get hurt.
I was just looking at Taylor, too. Even though he only had 89 tackles, he hit 16 passes defended, which put him in the top 10. He was, the top guy had 19. Second guy had 18, third had 17, and fourth is 17. But then there's a handful of guys. So he really tied for like fourth place at passes defended. So, I mean, Alante Taylor, I mean, like he really made a difference on top of just the tackles, which was a pretty high number to get 16 pass deflections too. Nobody above him had as many tackles as he did. And Brian Branch right below him, or he also had 16. So that's kind of put him in. That kind of gives you an idea of kind of how his stats measured up this year, similar to Brian Branch. So doing a lot for for a safety.
Oh yeah, and let's see. How about we get to number 10 here? Kirby Joseph, also a Lion, killing it as well. I guess it's going to be kind of cool that like people are going to forget about Kirby Joseph because of Brian Branch. So you'll be able to, you know, snatch him up like way later. I'm not saying they're going to have like similar outcomes, but Joseph put up 239 points, 82 total tackles. He had the 9 INTs. And so that's something that's probably not going to be duplicatable. But as much as teams have to throw on the Lions, I bet he has a shot to get 9 again or somewhere in that range. What up, Song?
Yeah, Joseph with the 9 interceptions led the league. Only Xavier McKinney had more than him. So that probably, like you said, won't be duplicatable. But steady putting up tackles for 3 seasons, 74, 80, 82. You know, not a big stress to say he could put up 20 to 30 more and keep cooking, you know, through the air. 9 pass deflections, or 12 pass deflections, you know, 9 interceptions. So he can do more than just, you know, just tackle. But those numbers could go up. So I like it a lot. And like you said, he's probably going to be somebody you can get late in drafts. People are going to forget about Kirby Joseph.
Yeah. And then you just mentioned McKinney, another guy who I feel will still be able to get like late in drafts because he didn't finish as a DB1. But man, those 8 INTs, 85 total tackles. And man, I mean, he had that stretch where I think it was like 4 games or whatever where he had like an INT, like 4 games in a row.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if Green Bay does get better, because even if they do, I mean, they're. The reason why he got a lot of those points was because of those INTs and teams having to throw on him. Let's see if his tackle numbers can increase, because I'd like to see it get back to at least his Giants last season where he was over 100 total.
Yeah, and we know he can do it because he played strong safety. But it is good. It is cool to see that he can get his hand on the ball that many times too. I think he, at 26 years old, I think his best seasons for fantasy are still ahead of him for sure. 237 this year, 262 last year. I think he's got one or two seasons, 260 plus, you know, in the bag somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like he's going to be super good value for Dynasty.
Yeah.
And man, this is someone I wasn't. So Byron Murphy. So what's he finished? Number 12. I wasn't surprised by this because even when he was on Arizona, he was that good. He missed a couple games though, like last year in 2023. And I feel like that's why his value probably dipped a little bit. But I feel like just the way that the Vikings are built and how they kind of been putting him on an island a little bit, he gets 6 INTs. He had 81 total tackles. I feel like this is something that's very, very duplicatable for him. And I feel like I'd feel good if he was my DB2. And if you probably don't even have to draft him as like a high end DB2 either.
Yeah. I mean, spot on right there. I'm there with you 100%. What do you have, 60, 62 solo tackles? That's a really good number, even though he only had 81 total. To get 60 of them be solo, that's easy money. So at 27, kind of just coming into his own, another guy that you'll probably be able to get dirt cheap.
Oh, yeah. All right, let's see. And 13th, Mo Rigg. So this is someone who I was talking about at the beginning of the year, and I know, and what is it? I think this is his contract year, so we don't know if he's gonna be with the Raiders, if he's gonna be moving on somewhere. I hope he stays with the Raiders because I don't know if their offense is gonna take a step up, and that's why I liked him going into this year to be someone who gets a lot of tackles and goes over 100 total tackles.
Yeah. And he's been trending up the last couple of seasons. I remember in middle of last season was kind of whenever I started really trusting him in the lineup. And you can see there, he put over 200 points up. I think I was playing him as like, you know, a DB3 or a flex guy, you know. It's like, okay, we'll see what we got here. This year comes back out and, you know, really just continues to build on that. Again, nothing overly flashy, you know. DB13 isn't necessarily something you'd write home about. But in fantasy, I mean, that's an every week starter, set and forget player. And that's really what you want. The less players you have to stress about, that's the more time you can really like lock in on, you know, watching football.
Yeah. And I feel like if you play in a league where you only start one DL, one DB, you know, one linebacker, like, you know, then these guys don't have like any value at all.
Yeah.
But if you played two DL, two linebackers, and two DBs, even if you didn't have any flex, you know, guys like Mo Rigg are still very valuable. Like anyone who finishes inside the top 24 is still going to be super valuable to your league when everyone has to start at least two per position.
Yep. And then bye weeks come, you know, I mean, you don't want to start nobodies. You don't want to start totally, you know, you don't want to lose by 2 or 3 points because you started a guy that scored 2 or 3 points.
Yeah.
You know, or nothing. I get in that trap with some players in a couple of leagues every now and then where I'm like, oh, you know, I'll skate by at this position, you know, or I'll lose a player. I'm like, oh, he'll be back from injury soon, and my backups that I have on my bench will be okay. And the next thing you know, you literally have one starting running back, and you have to go to the waiver wire and pick up, you know, the Ray Davises or whoever these guys are that play 20 snaps and just hope that they – get more than 10 yards, you know, like, and you can do that with defensive back too, with some of these guys, or any position. So you really want to go with the guys you can trust, you know, in fantasy football. A lot of us got money on the line, you know, bragging rights, and you remember those hurts, you know. I got a little emotional talking about Lonta Taylor, you know, you know, it wasn't a good time, but I'll remember it. So,
like, and shout out to Crispy, leaving a super chat on Rumble. You the man, Crispy.
Whoop, whoop. Appreciate it.
Great cash, homie.
All right. Then get to what? Where are we at? DB14 with Jeremy Chin. I'm super excited that he went to Washington with Luvu and with Wagner and just ended up coming back to being relevant because he was so good in his first 2 years and then just completely fallen off, whether it's to injury or whatever. But over 100 total tackles. I talked about him like damn near every week on the waiver wire video because he still wasn't above like 10% rostered on Yahoo. And yeah, just that 107 total tackles. Like, it's flirting with his best seasons.
Yeah. I mean, and he can be a disruptive player too. I mean, interception, 2 fumble recoveries, 2 sacks, 107 tackles with his first season with the Commanders. So that's very good things are ahead for him. Definitely somebody that should not have been necessarily given up on. Sometimes in fantasy, we give up on players a little too soon. You gotta account for the team and such, Carolina, commonly known as fumbling the bag, so.
And it was 2 years, to be fair, was 2 years of him like sucking for fantasy football, but
yeah, but the games were, he did play quite a few fewer games though too. He didn't play full season, so he was injured at some point or other during that. And again, it's Carolina. They were, they're trash. It's hard. Probably doesn't feel very good to play hard for a trash organization.
No, especially when you get hurt. I mean, you're making business decisions.
Especially when you get hurt and you go back out there and you're like, you know what? What week is it? 12? How many games we won? 2? I think I might pull my punches just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Speaking of that.
Just got over this back thing.
Yeah. Speaking of that trash Carolina, though, man, Xavier Woods. He was someone who, if you're just picking up and you play more than one DB, like you loved picking him up. 119 total tackles. Let me see how many single digit games he even put up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And you probably weren't playing him in the first 3 weeks. And 2 of his single digit games were in the first 2 out of the first 3 games.
Yep.
Outside of that, just so consistent. And even down the stretch, week 12 and 13, over 20 points. Week 17, 18 points. So if you made it to your championship and he was there, he helped you with those 18 points.
Yeah, looks like he was averaging like 6-7 tackles a game, basically. So, he was staying consistent on the field. That's what you want for a DB2, DB3. You want a guy that's just going to keep floating right here. And when he's, he can spike. Couple of games down, like you said, only a handful of games below 10, but I saw a couple of games well over 20. So that's where the money's at.
Yep. And let me see.
And you get there by hanging out in those high teens.
Yeah. And let's see what his contract is looking like. He's going to be there again. He signed a 3-year deal in 2022. So
still Carolina though. So
or wait, is he going to be there one more year? That might have been his last year with. Let's see.
1, 2.
Yeah, he's a free agent. Yeah, he's a free agent this year, so no guarantee where he's going to be. But, we'll find out some of these guys. I don't know if he's going to be one of the guys who is – I don't know if he's going to be one of the guys who is, like, picked up, in the first wave of free agents. But
yeah,
I bet he'll be picked up somewhere in March, though.
Fair. All right, is that the top 15?
Yeah, top 15. We'll just give a little shout out to the other guys in the top 20. Deshaun Elliott for the Steelers. That was real nice. Him being pretty consistent. Marlon Humphrey. I know he stepped up at times. Kasan Nixon. He was someone who, if you play with more than 2 DBs, you liked getting him in the mix. Jalen Jones. Yeah, another promising DB. Over there for the Colts, and then Quentin Lake, another guy who just put up pretty solid numbers for the most part, and that would round out the top 20 DBs.
Nice, yeah, and the names were really up there near the top. The big names with your Derwin Jameses and your Buda Bakers, but there were some other guys sneaking up there too that were kind of not necessarily surprising, but they kind of got what was coming to them. We've known they've been good. It's good to see them have closer to a great kind of season. Someone who wasn't on that list, but only because he missed a few games. The injury was Antoine Winfield Jr.
Yeah.
Gotta give him a shout out because he's going to be in my top 10, top five, you know, defensive backs. So when I do get my rankings done, he'll be up there.
I hope he falls because, you know, if there's some people who literally just look at last year's numbers and base everything off of that, hopefully that helps him fall a couple rounds in the startups.
Yeah. And that's why you can't just look at last year's, you know, complete rankings, you know, or you got to look at contextually, like, okay, who am I missing that maybe played 8 games but was hot? Like, think about Aiden Hutchinson. He's not going to show up on the top list of anything this last year. But for the 5 weeks that he played football this last year, he was untouchable.
Yeah.
I mean, so don't forget, you know.
And on Patreon, I'm going to be having not rankings, but like, I mean, not my rankings necessarily. I will have the rankings, but like points per game, you know, rankings. So that's something people forget about. I mean, defense, just like offense, we have a shitload of injuries and we want to make sure we're on top of our game when it comes to this. And Aiden Hutchinson, everyone's going to remember him. But, you know, guys like Paulson Adebo, you know, we can go look at where he lined up points per game wise compared to all the other DBs. I bet he's somewhere close to the top 10, you know, when it comes to points per game.
Yep. Same with that. That's why I brought up Winfield too. So check out those points per game, points per snap, you know, and again, guys fall through the cracks. IDP is always a place where guys fall through the cracks. You know, you can get superstars if you know what you're looking at. If you're okay with a diamond in the rough, you can spot it. They shine up real quick, you know, a la Kevin Byard.
Yeah. Any guys who you're thinking about who I would say guys who you think might have a breakout year, someone who's maybe been flying below the radar, but we think they take a step up this year. You got any guys like that just in your back pocket?
I mean, no, it would just be some of these guys we talked about today that I think are going to maybe continue and go a little higher. I don't have anyone that like is like a deep sleeper. But I think like guys like Brandon Jones kind of solidifying themselves into that conversation, maybe ending up in that part of the conversation that someone like Jesse Bates is no longer, we're kind of worn out of. That's kind of more so guys like that. Some of these guys we talked, Jeremy Chinn coming back into the fold. You know, that could be, you know, it could be right back where we left off and it's 4, 5, 6 more years of us talking about him now. You know, yeah. Julian Love, you know, consistency, 250, what, 240 something, 253, 254. I mean, he's going to be in the conversation for a while and it's not going to be necessarily a surprise, but it's going to be, you know, paying their dues, you know, being like, these guys, you can count on these guys. You can count on these players now. It's not something where it's like, you know, it's good now and it's good next year. We'll see. But we're really, you know, you can build around them and you can kind of say, my DBs are good. You know, I can go address X, Y, and Z now.
Yeah. And what'd Buck say? He said, Malik Mustafa, sleeper with you, Fanger, Apu Fanga, probably. Let's go. Yeah, let's see. I mean, man, I feel like I've been getting let down by the San Francisco DBs. And maybe it's a little bit because of injury. Maybe, you know, Jair Brown hasn't been what we wanted him to be so far. But, yeah, the teams are going to have to throw on him. So as long as they can make a couple plays out there, they're always going to be decent.
Yep.
What'd Johnny say? Tyke Smith on Tampa is my favorite Dynasty DB sleeper. Yeah, I mean, just someone who – shit, I mean, there were so many games where he was either having 20 points or just flirting with 20 points. And – yeah, I feel like because of Carlton Davis leaving, like, that made it to where instead of him being the guy getting 20 and Antoine Winfield getting 20, it seems like it's been spread out a little bit now. What song says Jair Brown usually plays in the backfield more? Yeah. Derek said, Nick Cross is my boy. Yeah, we were talking about him. I don't even think you were on the show yet. He was DB3.
Yeah.
And this is going to be the last year of his contract. And we'll see what he could do again. I hope he repeats.
Yep. Another guy, like you said, that we could potentially be talking about for a while. It's crazy, too. I mean, you're a little older than me, so you've seen at least probably one wave of players fully through the NFL. But, I mean, 2015 was the year that I really started paying attention to the NFL. And it was funny. I was looking at Kevin Byard's career, and he got drafted in 2016. And I was like, huh, I've watched his whole career. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I started playing in 2006, and I just started off with, like, IDP. But, yeah, seeing guys like, I mean, Ray Lewis's damn near whole career. London Fletcher, Patrick Willis.
Some guys still doing it too, like Levante David. He's been around since way back in the day.
Dude, and like doesn't seem like he's gonna quit. Has one of his like his best seasons, and even though he's 35, and Bobby Wagner, you know, not one of his best seasons, but good enough to where it's like, damn, he just moved over to another team and maybe took a half of a step back, but like you drafted him way later, so it didn't even matter.
There's still two or three steps ahead of most linebackers, so.
Right? And Frankie Louvu, like, man, I mean, it's crazy what Washington did this year. Like, props to them. And just, I mean, Frankie Louvu, Bobby Wagner, and Jeremy Chinn, and you get rid of fucking Chase Young, who is, like, probably like a cancer to your entire defense, even though you're doing decent. And
they got rid of Montez Sweat, too. They sent him to Chicago, and they drafted Jaden Daniels, and the rest is history.
They got good value for Montez. I mean, they got a third rounder for him. I mean, Chase Young, I mean, you know, drafting 102 and then getting a third rounder. I mean, that's a big loss, but rather cut your losses. Yeah, Derek said he was the Washington mascot. That's about
Chase
it.
Chase Young might be the biggest draft bust, one of the biggest busts of the last of forever. I mean, the way people talked about it coming at he out, he was.
Yeah, he's J.J. Watt. Times Mario Williams, times someone else. Like, he was being
hyped. Even better than insert literally the best defensive end of all time.
Yeah, and, like, I don't know. That's why you can only put so much fucking hype into the quality of the player versus, like, the scheme of, like, what's going on. Because you can look at who was drafted above Aiden Hutchinson. I can't
Trayvon Walker.
There you go. Trayvon Walker. I mean, who had a decent, you know, season or whatever, but you just look at that, like the Jaguars versus like the Lions. And like, I don't even know if anybody thought that Trayvon Walker was going to be better than Aiden Hutchinson other than
the Jaguars.
Yeah. Whoever was the one who said, we got it.
I still don't know if they were right. I mean, Trayvon Walker hasn't been a bust. He hasn't been a Chase Young level bust. So no. You got that going for you at least.
Yeah. But
Aiden Hutchinson's been much better.
Yeah. I mean, I guess because of the injury. I mean, I guess you could say. I mean, because Trayvon did play the whole year or whatever.
Yeah.
He's still a bum to me. I've never been in on him. I thought it was stupid.
He's a bum. I think he had a few sacks this year. He had a decent sack numbers this year, but he's still Trayvon Walker. He's not no Aiden Hutchinson. He ain't no white chocolate.
Nope. Derek said he got great camera shots though on the sideline yelling. Yeah, when he was cheering his team on. Yeah. Chase Young. He sucks, man. He really does. We'll see if he with a change of scenery and stuff, if he'll do better. But I don't buy it.
I don't know how he's still in. Some of these people, he's like one of these people. It's like, how are they still in the NFL? Like, what? At a certain point, it's just like, how do you function as a football player when you can't execute your primary function successfully?
I guess what I feel like, if you're just this talented, it's probably the bad coaching. You know, like, I feel like that would be like the go-to argument for like all of it. Cause look at Baker
Mayfield. Or are you just not that talented? I mean, like, maybe there is like a middle ground where you're literally better than everyone in college and you're still not good enough to be in the NFL.
I mean, it's tough to be a defensive end. I mean, especially if you're against some of these the left tackles that have been in the league for like 10 plus years. And like, if you don't have any like evolution of like your moves and your techniques, like, yeah, who knows, man? That shit's tough. All right. Well, before we get out of here, why don't you remind everybody where to follow you at?
Yes, sir. You can follow me on Twitter at the IDP Army or my personal Twitter at 50 Shades of Drunk. The YouTube channel is at All Fantasy Football. Don't post a lot on there, but like I said, starting the content engine up soon and just going to be steady posting maybe a couple of videos a month is kind of the goal. And yeah, just follow me on Twitter. Usually the best spot to get me. And I'm going to be here with my man Alex once a week doing an IDP show, streaming, answering questions. And just until we don't, we'll see how, you know, in a month, a year, 2 years, you know, I don't know, however long y'all need us to do this, we'll be dropping IDP nuggets, going through rankings, going through stats, having debates on players, looking at drafts, all that good stuff. I know my son's got my son. Yeah, as long as my kid's actual sports schedule doesn't get too hectic. Both my kids are about to be playing soccer. I just heard my family just got back from all that. So, yeah, once a week, as long as we can get it rolling.
Oh, yeah. And then I should be doing a live stream over the weekend for the combine. We'll just go through, you know, we'll pretty much break down everything that's important with the rookies. And then, yeah, we got free agency coming up really soon here. So the live streams will be picking up once we start the best ball drafts. We'll be getting live streams going more often as well for all the drafts. But a lot of good things coming down the pipeline. So if you're not on Patreon, make sure you get there. That's like the number one place where all the information is going to be coming first, whether it's new leagues starting, whether it's best ball drafts, whether it's the shows, pretty much everything. So make sure you're over there, 420crew.com. And we'll see you next time. Peace out.
Defense on me.
I don't want them to gain another yard.
You blitz all night. If they cross the line of scrimmage, I'm going to take every last one of you out. You make sure they remember forever the night they played the Titans.
Here comes the boom. 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 Y'all don't really want it now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. LeafHome.com/water.